Welcome, everybody. This is How to English with Gavin M.
It's a podcast about teaching and learning English as a foreign language.
All opinions stated are personal and source materials will be referenced where possible. Hi, Em.
Oh, I was going to say it first. Hi, Gav.
Hi, Em. How's it going?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Are you really good?
I'm really good. I'm really excited because this is part two of our episode Making Mistakes for both teachers and students.
Yes, we started last week and now we're going to conclude, yeah?
Well, hopefully.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe there'll be a third.
Okay, so from what I can remember, we talked about pens a lot. And I thought maybe just to say, in the future, be careful with pens.
Yes.
Don't put them in your mouth. Don't, you know, just make sure they're the right colour if you're going to draw, I don't know, broccoli, for example. Make sure it's a green pen.
And we didn't mention, put the lids back on. Annoys me when they're all dried out.
That's true, but that's not a mistake. That's just annoying.
Well, it's not a mistake to think that it won't dry out.
Okay, that's a good tip. All right. Were there any other tips that you got from the last episode? Because we talked about a lot.
Do your research. Know where you're going as a teacher.
Know where you're going.
Well, as in, in all
as
senses.
As in plan the lesson or as in plan your route?
I meant as in do the research to know where the lesson will be, who you should...
Physically.
Yes. Where the lesson should be physically. Yes, and think about that before you go.
Okay. That's a good summary for the previous episode.
What else? I don't know. What else did we do?
We talked about loads of things. Okay, so if you're not sure what we're talking about, go back to the previous episode and it will all be very clear. And then come back to this one and then you'll understand what we're talking about. So going forward, we're going to start talking about students' mistakes. I know we just started on it in the last one. I think I mentioned verb s, he, she, mm-hmm. it. That's one that all level students always get wrong. And it doesn't seem to matter what we do to help them. They'd still make those. Any others that you want to, where do you want to start with this then? You've probably got a whole list of things in mind.
should have thought about it, shouldn't I? I think... Talking from a language, just specifically language and the mistakes they make when they're speaking. I think they, maybe if they learn English from a book, a study book, a student book, it depends on the book. And I think there are a lot of very good books now and they learn it in a way that is quite natural, I think.
From a book?
Yeah, I think the books are getting a lot better, but I think that some of maybe the older books, the books that they had at school perhaps, if they're, you know, if they're more than 20 years old, they don't actually know how the language sounds.
The books?
The students, if they learn from an old book, don't know how the language sounds in real life.
So they
think that. They can say they can obviously say every word separately and it's very understandable, but then they're very shocked when they hear natural speech.
You mean contractions?
Contractions and connected
like
speech.
Cannot and will not.
Yeah. Yes,
because you come across these students who have got quite peculiar ways of speaking and you realise they're just not using contractions.
Mm.
And as you say, it's probably because they never really came across somebody who uses contractions all the time.
Yeah,
but that's definitely changing. Sorry to interrupt you. That's definitely changing because I think nowadays everybody can access the internet, YouTube videos, and you can hear, and TV shows, and you can hear contractions all the time.
Okay, that's a good point. I still think that a lot of students are resistant to doing it themselves. It's as if they think they need to be as clear as they can be and they want to be understandable.
Okay.
And I appreciate that and I think there's a lot to be said for being understandable, but they don't go that bit further to try and sound natural, and okay. I think that it can sound a bit strange, as
maybe,
you said.
Maybe they've got an idea that it's very formal English, and they prefer to be on the formal rather than the sort of they see connected speech, which is when you get many words connecting together. They think that's. Can you give me an example of connected speech?
What do you want to do?
What do you want to do? Exactly. And they just maybe think, oh, that's really lazy English.
Yeah,
that's
think they English don't like that... the sound of it. They think it sounds quite ugly, maybe okay. slang. It's like they don't actually believe that that is how the language is. Okay. And they don't want, they either don't accept
I want to sound like, you know, the that. Queen. I want to speak the Queen's English.
I don't know if they're even aware of it. Okay. I'm not sure. I think it goes back to what they're used to, and that in their heads they want to be as clear as they can be, which
okay.
I've always said to my students, well, that's fine. You know, you will be understood, but it will be harder for you to understand people mm-hmm. if you don't start thinking and using this yourself.
So it's not only being understood by others, but actually understanding others yourself.
Yeah.
If you don't know what these contractions are, can't or can't, yeah. and what you want to know,
yeah.
is you're not going to recognise when other people use it.
I think a common one is will not, and to try and explain that, you know, people using English in a natural way would never use will
hardly
not.
Ever.
Well, only if you really want to stress it or something.
I will not.
Yeah, but to try and explain that and the reason, some of the reasons for that may be because it sounds too much like want.
Mm.
And then it's just,
yeah.
I've always had problems with students that say won't. Incorrectly anyway, like if okay. they do try and use it, often it sounds like want.
Well, maybe American English is a bit more want, I want, you know, sounds a bit more rather than won't, which sounds
yeah,
very British.
But then they often leave the two off uh-huh. of want anyway, so uh-huh. then it's confusing.
Doubly
so
confusing.
That may happen to them, and then they kind of say, well, I'm never going to do that again because it's misunderstood,
okay.
perhaps.
Sure.
That is quite a specific one anyway. So.
I had a student once who I taught gonna to, and he said, yes, that's all very nice, but I'm not going to talk like that because
said going to yeah. I'm not going to talk like
because,
that
because he said all the people I meet are like upper class and they don't use gonna, and I said I think they do, but of course I just want you to be aware that some people will use gonna,
yeah,
and it's the majority, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah, yeah,
okay.
yeah, yeah.
So contractions and link, like connected speech.
Yeah.
What else have you got in mind?
And also thinking that English is a very high-level language, perhaps, which depends on the person and the job and the people they're going to meet. But I think a lot of students think they need to speak a lot higher level than maybe is necessary.
Higher? You mean like loudly?
No, I mean using very...
Sophisticated
language and complicated vocabulary.
Okay.
And
sure.
And I feel like sometimes it sounds a bit pretentious, perhaps, or it
yeah.
just sounds odd
yeah.
if they use this very high-level sort of
complex English,
yeah. And
also,
I think a lot of the time it's what they do in their own language, and I've learned, I think, along the way that a lot of languages are a bit more complicated
mm-hmm.
than English.
Well, it depends who you are. It must be the same in every language. Some people use very simple language, some use very complicated language.
Well, I think it's a cultural thing. It depends on the language itself, but I mean, some languages still have thee and thou in them.
Okay.
You know, the formal version of you. And I think for people that speak English, it's a very strange concept, and
mm-hmm.
there's no equivalent to that anymore.
Because even writing nowadays... it's transformed from letters to email.
Yeah.
And I think emails are becoming more and more informal. They're like conversations now.
Yeah.
So that formal language of English is really being moved to like the academic side, or to this is what lawyers are using, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So very specific. So you're right. It sounds, you have to get the right, what's that word? Is it tone or level or...
appropriacy,
yeah,
I mean,
in the situation,
yeah.
because you're right, some people will sound far too formal or far too informal,
yeah, so that's another thing. I mean, I don't know if it's a mistake they make, but they do seem to be quite incredulous mm-hmm. when you say, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. you don't need to say it like that. You can just make it more basic than mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And they look at you a bit like, really? Am I going to sound stupid?
So they don't really believe it. Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah. I thought sometimes I come across students and I don't even know where to start with their mistakes. Like all the things we've already mentioned, plus so many different things, like not being able to form sentences correctly and questions and, you know, inverting verb. Mm.
And do you think that comes from just bad teaching or that they've not learnt the rules?
Yeah, that maybe they've just taught themselves. It could be any number of reasons for it, but mm. that's a real struggle for a teacher. It's like, where do you start? And I think you just have to pick one that you think you can really fix. It might be articles, it mm. might be sentence structure, just something that's really affecting you from understanding what the person is saying.
Yeah, to start with the most sort of problematic mm-hmm. and then work your way back from there.
Pick your battles, because you can't take on all of the mistakes or you would be constantly correcting the student and they'd lose all their confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I find also their native language tends to affect what they're saying, so they might like translate directly from their language into English, which is often doesn't work. And the more you teach, the more you realise that there's particular patterns that students will use and they just don't work in English. And that's where how to English comes from, because it's not actually English, is it? But it's a really, really common mistake, like how to say, my students often say, rather than how can I say. So, yeah, there can be like we call L1, their first language could be influencing the way they're speaking English.
Yeah.
So the students should be aware of that. It's a good tip for students. Think about how maybe you're just translating and you're missing auxiliary verbs like do, be, have, which are really, really key to English language.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, a lot of languages, the reason they make the mistakes with articles is because they don't have those words in their own language.
Exactly.
So for them to start using words that don't even exist or tenses that don't even exist, you know,
yeah.
like present perfect is just not there in a lot of languages.
Yeah.
So for them to understand the concept even
yeah.
is a strange one.
Yeah, definitely. But fortunately, things like passive is in a lot of languages.
Yeah.
So you might find rather than spending too long trying to explain it, just say, have you got something similar to this? And you describe it simply and you might find they've already got that.
Mm-hmm.
And then all you need to do is teach them the words, the form, the grammar.
That's a good tip too. And I don't do that sometimes, and that's a good thing. I think you're right. Just mm-hmm. to not have to teach it. In fact, it's quite good, isn't it? You can just say, well, that's the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't underestimate them, because they're quite capable. Mm-hmm. What else you got for me?
What else? I think that, I don't know, you tell me something. I'm trying to think.
Well, I think it also, because like false friends is a big part of their L1 affecting them. So they might have words like, one student once said, oh, my teacher is very sympathetic. And I just thought, am I? what's the problem? So I realised quite quickly that in some of the romantic languages, they have this sympathetic or simpatico or something,
mm-hmm.
which is very kind. And it's sympathetic, although it actually can be used in that in a very formal sense in English, it's generally not. It's used to say somebody who recognises someone's suffering and they show them that they care. And so it's something that I always sort of listen out for when I'm teaching.
And that, I think that goes back to my other point about the sort of difference in complexity or sophistication, because then mm-hmm. you present them with this word that they should use and you say, yeah, just say nice. And they just sort of think, well, that doesn't do what I want it to do. Nice mm-hmm. is too mm-hmm. general, but
sure.
you realise we use nice all the time.
We do use, I think you and me use nice a lot.
Everything's
possibly
nice.
More than everybody else.
You can use nice for so
it's a
many.
Nice cup of tea.
Yeah, exactly. Nice day.
Okay.
And that's, yeah, I think that's a thing that is hard for them to take.
Okay. Em, would you like a coffee?
Thanks, Gav, but you know I only drink tea.
Oh, yeah, well, that could be arranged.
Oh.
Follow us. If you're enjoying listening, watching or reading Gavin M's How to English Pod, visit ko-fi.com/How to English Pod.
That's coffee, ko-fi.com/How to English Pod. And it would be lovely if you bought us a coffee or a tea to show us support, and you could even get a mention on our show if you'd like.
With these false friends, what we call false friends, because they look the same in different languages, but they might have very, very different meanings. There's one that came up recently, actual. Mm. Actual in some languages means now or current.
Yes.
And in English, it's like in fact or the real thing. So again, they're kind of similar, but they're different. And I get students telling me about there's a fabric down the road,
yeah,
meaning factory. And I think in one language they said, what was it? Oh yeah, I was working on my computer and my colleague kept molesting me. And I thought, ooh, okay. So you have to suddenly say, that's not a good word in English. Yeah. And you teach it and you say, not appropriate, etc.
And I think they get confused with, I don't know if it's a false friend or just the wrong word, but it's like there was a manifestation in the city centre today.
That's right.
And, or they say an action.
That's right. That's right.
So that's quite...
Meaning?
An event or... an event meaning action or a demonstration.
Okay.
This manifestation.
Action could be like discount or something.
Oh, yeah, that's another one.
Action
yeah.
at the supermarket. So you even if you're not learning the student's first language, you will quite quickly pick up on the mistakes that they make and you start learning their language sort of passively.
That's
really, really interesting.
Yeah,
like I say about the sentence order, you might find that they put prepositions at the beginning because that's more typical in their language or something. So mm-hmm. It's really interesting. You learn quite a lot about their own language just from teaching English.
And I think a lot of my discussions I do have quite high level students as well, so trying to just explain the subtleties that mm-hmm. the preposition would go at the end, because that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no reason for it particularly, but in their language, well, it would go at the beginning. So,
and in the past, I think in English, I think we used to put the prepositions at the beginning. And that now it just sounds really old fashioned and stuffy.
It does. So I end up just sounding like I said that I'm just saying, well, yeah, it's not that formal, or it's just too.
Yeah.
Sounds too grand, you know.
Absolutely. I don't know if this point fits in with making mistakes, but I haven't made them cry, but there has been crying in my classroom.
What?
I remember giving, I don't know if it was an end of course test or something. It was given by the company. I remember giving it to the student. And after, I was focusing on something else. After a bit, I just heard this kind of and I looked over and the student was crying. And I said, oh, don't worry. It's really, like, it's not very important. And then I sort of helped her continue with the test.
And it was connected to the test, not something else.
I think so. I don't know. Maybe something else had happened. But that's not the only time I've had crying students in my class. Yeah. But I don't think I really made... It wasn't my mistake. Maybe it was a mistake to have the lesson, but...
Well,
I think
maybe
it was
the mistake of the student to go to the lesson.
The student's mistake. Exactly. But I think that they sometimes just want it as a counselling session. And you have to recognise when the student is not going to engage in the lesson. You've got this elaborate grammar that you want to teach them, and then you suddenly, and they come in, storm into the room, slam the door, sit down, and you think, okay, they've just had an argument with their boss.
Yeah, maybe
we're not going to do this grammar.
Scrap that one today. Yeah.
Exactly.
And you don't say to them, for why are you angry, do you? Or for what are you angry? You say, what are you angry for or about,
okay.
Maybe.
Exactly, yeah.
Just to go back to
that
the preposition.
You are going back, exactly. Just jump back, as I mentioned earlier. Good. I've also got pronunciation mistakes, more specifically. Guy can be pronounced differently. And you have to, and so often the students correct themselves and then they look up to see if the teacher saw them make this mistake. It's really important to be very professional and not just laugh at every single mistake.
Yeah, I don't like doing that. I mean, you can't help it sometimes. I think I had once somebody come in and I said, how are you today? And she said, I have a cock. You can't really, you know... not smile.
It's the rude ones that you remember, isn't it?
It is those, because they shock you, and yeah. Those are the ones that you sort of, you don't even feel like you're a teacher, you just feel like something wrong here. And then I should just point out she had a cough.
Oh, a cough. Not, now I understand.
It is a notoriously hard word to pronounce. Yeah, we all know
if
that.
If you don't know that sound. And also the number between 5 and 7 is often missaid.
Sure.
And the student gets a bit embarrassed.
But that's another thing why they make mistakes. You know, even that example of cough, the O-U-G-H sound is a nightmare, I think, for them, mm-hmm. really, because you've got through, rough, enough, mm-hmm. All those other words that end in those letters, and I'm not surprised they make mistakes.
Yeah.
I don't know how they can remember it.
Yeah.
Thought, you know, and through.
There are specific nations or regions where, like, the pronunciation of R is very difficult. R and L. And they get crossed over. Mm-hmm. So rice might become lice. That's a tricky one, I think, for students. And I think that's something they need to really practice, because it simply isn't in their language. Mm. And that's what they have to practice.
Mm.
So, and what I sometimes do is I just give them a video and just say, okay, go home, practice it. Because I can just sit opposite them and me saying rice and them saying lice and me saying rice and they say lice, and we could go on for hours. But I think they have to really go home, spend time, think about the shapes that we make when we make these words.
And I wonder whether we should just shock them a little bit and tell them what those words that they are saying, what that sounds like, because I don't know other ways of really getting it across to them. How
would you shock them into
You explain what? No, I mean you explain what lice it means, maybe, and so they can actually picture what it is they're really saying, and I think that would be quite a profound, you know, mental image for them.
They wouldn't forget that is a mistake, and that they should be aware of.
So that would maybe motivate them a bit more to correct it, because I think that they're a bit maybe, I'm sure it's understandable sometimes in their opinion.
Men's, as in, like, there are two men's walking down the street and there are three women's in the classroom. It's those rules they learn at the beginning of English, and then they just keep applying it to everything. When they're not sure, they just stick an S on it. Because you say, okay, this is a pen, and then you say there are two pens, and then suddenly that's English. You just put an S if there's more than one of them, and that doesn't work.
Yeah, I think they learn quickly, though, that the exceptions in English and the rules don't apply. And
it's
quite heartbreaking, I think, for a lot of learners when they get to about B1, where they really feel like they're making progress, and then suddenly all these exclusions, exceptions, and, you know, just complicated rules start to appear, and I can see why they get really demotivated to keep it up.
English seems to be one of those languages where it seems to start really easy, and they seem to learn so quickly, but you're right, they hit a certain level around B1, B2, and then it seems very challenging for them. And then those ones that are really determined will get above B2. But there are so many that just stay around the B1, B2 level. I see so many of them myself.
That's right.
Much and many. Yeah, I can see you're pulling a face there. Oh, my God, you're thinking, how do you teach much and many? Why is information uncountable? Why is water uncountable? I want two waters. Oh, it is countable. That's confusing.
Sometimes.
I know. So, yeah, I'll have two wines, please. No. But, that's the problem. They also, you teach something in the classroom, and then they've got exceptions to these things, and then they watch TV, and then suddenly somebody's ordering two waters, two coffees in a cafe, and they're like, but teacher, you said this. And we say, oh, I'm sorry. It's just so much more complicated.
Yeah, that's the other thing, to try and explain. It changes, it's evolving, and I don't make the rules. You know, it does change.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure data used to be singular. I'm sure it was data is the data is right, or the data is correct. But now it's,
what did you say, datas?
If there was no, I mean now it's the data are.
Yeah. It's both
Did you grow up learning that? That the data are correct?
I didn't know what data was when I was growing up. Okay.
Anyway, I think that things do change as well. And so even when you do try and teach the rules, it can be wrong eventually.
Yeah. Any more tips? Because we're nearly out of time. So
I think I've done everything. I think just as well, maybe lower level students, telling them it's important to learn things they don't like doing and the things they don't like eating, because they seem to think that they should only know everything that applies to them.
What do they do like?
Yeah, like somebody once said, oh, I don't need to know that word because I don't like them.
Oh, okay.
Like mushrooms, I think it was. Okay. I don't like mushrooms. I don't need to remember mushrooms. And I just said, well, if you go to a restaurant and there's something on the menu that you think sounds quite nice and then it arrives and it's just mushrooms, but you didn't know that word.
Yes.
Then I think that the student realised that it was relevant, you know,
that's a really good
point. Learn things they don't like to.
Because they could be in a restaurant and they could say to the waiter, waitress, what's this? And if they say, oh, this mushrooms, and you don't know the words, then you're just going to order it and you've got no idea. That's a really, really good point. Excellent.
Maybe
learn
not.
Things that you don't like as well as things you do like. That's a really good tip. I like that. I've never thought of that, actually. I think the only other things I've got in mind is missing articles like this is pen, this is chair, and you're just like, oh, please just put an article with it. It's what they have to do, these students that
That's a hard fight too, because they say, well, you know what I mean. You know, it's only the little extra decorative bits. And to try and explain, well, you just sound wrong and it sounds ugly and it's distracting.
It's very hard to explain why it sounds so bad to us. But it kind of just makes me feel like that. I have a feeling that next time we might talk about how to correct some of these mistakes.
Ah, okay. Yeah,
It just popped into my head.
Anything should really, else? Shouldn't we? I think that would be good.
That would be very logical. All right. Anything else, Em?
No, I'm done. Thanks,
okay.
Gav.
So I think we have definitely covered over these two episodes making mistakes.
Yes. I wouldn't argue with you.
See you next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.